Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Let There Be Talk. You can now find all of my podcasts in one spot, CactusRadioNetwork.com. You can find Let There Be Talk, Dark Fonzie, At Home with Byron Katie, and The Grail, all at CactusRadioNetwork.com for absolutely free. Thank you for the support. Keep the candles lit. Let's get into the episode today, number 622. Hope you guys are doing good this Monday morning. Hope you survived Thanksgiving and the weird family battles that a lot of people might have had over whatever they were talking about, may it be Bitcoin or politics or whatever. Hope you're unscathed, whatever that means. I don't know. I'm here, fresh back from Denver. Had a great weekend out there at the Comedy Works. Thank you, Wendy, and all of the staff at the Denver Comedy Works South and the downtown. I did both the venues. It was fun. Got to slap around this hour a little more and try to get it funny and tight and, you know, get somewhere. That's all I do. Constantly mining for gold, looking for the funny. Great crowds. Not big. I'm not going to sit here and bullshit you. They were not big. But the people that were there, it was fantastic. Actual podcast and Del Razors and fans of the comedy and whatever. Just good. Just all around fun. Made me realize, as corny as it sounds, this podcast seems to help a lot of people. And that means a lot to me because I dig it. I dig doing it for you guys. So thank you if you came out to the Denver shows. Anyway, a lot of stuff today. I was in Denver. Finally got to go to a couple of movies. I have not been to the movies since COVID. The last film I saw was Ford versus Ferrari. So yeah, it's been a long time. I got to finally see the James Bond movie. And then I got to see House of Gucci, and I will talk about both these films on my Patreon this week. So if you want to hear more about that, you can go to patreon.com/DeanDelRay and check out a bonus episode. But I will tell you this, there was a serious sadness that dropped over the fashion world and myself as I was buying a ticket to see House of Gucci. I found out that Virgil had passed away. And right then, it was the weirdest fucking timing. And, you know, I love fashion. Anybody that looks at my Instagram or has known me for years, I try to stay up on all types of fashion, whether it be rock and roll fashion or if it's streetwear or if it's hip hop fashion, skate fashion. I love all kinds of fashion. I like different looks. And I love fashion icons, and Virgil was a fashion icon. I'm a huge fan of Louis Vuitton. Kim Jones, he was tearing it up at Louis for years, and then Virgil came in and brought some cool street vibe to it, and this man had flair. He had incredible eye for design, and he was an icon, man. An icon in the fashion world, gone way too soon. 41 years young, a rare cancer got him. What a fucking bummer, man. And it'll be a bummer for a long time because that man, like I said, he really was a fashion icon. Guest today, great guest today, a comedian. I don't have a lot of comedians on, but when I do, it's somebody that I really like or respect in the comedian world, comedy world. And today is Macy Isaacs is my guest today. She's a newer comic. I met her a few years ago at the store, and I loved her jokes. I loved her delivery, her vibe, the flavor of comedy. Really was a really cool delivery. It's like dry. And I love that kind of comedy. I am not that type of comic, but I love people like Bob Newhart and Stephen Wright. And so does she. So we dived into a lot of that, which was great. We also talked about our favorite SNL sketches. We went all over the board on this. It was great to have her on. I recorded one with her a few months ago and it fucking got lost. I don't know how it happened. Still to this day, 700 episodes or so, and I've only lost two. And fucking, I don't like losing shit. I've only lost one pair of sunglasses in my life, and I know exactly how I did it. I don't lose sunglasses. I don't lose shit. I'm one of those guys that doesn't lose shit. Everybody has that friend. He just loses shit. His keys, his sunglasses, money. Fuck, I don't know. I lost a fucking $50 bill. I never lose shit. I think because I didn't have shit growing up. So when I got something, I fucking had a furious grip on it. My records, anything. But anyway, I lost the original Macy episode and she came back over and she kicked ass. It was great. She's very funny. Follow her on Instagram and go see her at the Comedy Store or somewhere in LA or somewhere out on the road in 2022, probably opening for me. Thank you, Macy, for doing it. And looking forward to people getting to know you more from the podcast. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying today. I'm just finally going to be home for, I think, like 5 weeks. I've been on the road. I am not complaining. I will take it anytime. I love working. But it will be good to have a little rest. Rest up the voice. Just Gertie and I chilling on the couch. I will be working. I'll be going to the Comedy Store. But I won't be getting on airplanes and dealing with crazy holiday travelers. I will not miss that. It'll be great. Sometime after the new year, I'll kick it back off. And I think I'm doing Springfield, Illinois in January. I'll put that date up on the website soon. Merch, DeanDelRay.com. Brand new Gertie hoodie and sweatshirt. Got the Dark Fonzie shirts, the Grail shirts, and the Let There Be Talk Dean Del Rey shirt. All kinds of stuff up there. Great holiday gifts. DeanDelRay.com. I guess that's about it. Oh, big shout out to Robin Yates. Fantastic donation. Fantastic Delrazer. Amazing supporter of Let There Be Talk over the last 10 years. I want to give her an extra special shout out. Thank you, Robin Yates. You and your family are just fantastic. And I hope you have a great, great holiday. Coming up here, New Year's Eve already coming up, huh? Wow. Another year gone. Another year gone. I tell you what was it? The 27th, a few days ago? When was that? No, that was yesterday. Saturday, that's when it was. Saturday was my, what was that? 9-year anniversary of being passed at the Comedy Store. I cannot believe it's been 9 years. 9 years ago, I remember walking on the patio and they told me I was going to be a paid regular at the greatest comedy club in America. And still to this day, it is the greatest achievement that I have accomplished in my life. And I mean that. To be a paid regular at the Comedy Store, in the history of that building and the people that have worked on that stage, I never take it lightly. And I'm constantly trying to get to that high watermark, that high standard of Comedy Store comedy. That's all I think about. So thank you, Comedy Store. And thank you all the comedy clubs over the years that have let me work on your stages. Because, man, without you guys, I ain't fucking shit. I got nowhere to do comedy. Where am I going to do it? In the park? Oh, I'm not going to lie. I'm tired today, but I love you guys. Thank you, Macy, for doing the podcast. Thank you, everybody. Don't forget to subscribe. Leave a review on iTunes and YouTube. Keep the candles lit. Stay healthy, people. Don't be dumb. Be good to each other. Here she is. The candles are lit for Macy Isaacs. Round two.
Round two.
Macy Isaacs.
That's right. Round one shall never be heard.
It's fucking crazy. I've been doing this for 10 years. Never have lost an episode except for one, Tech Nine. And that was a power problem where I was recording it and somebody walked by 3/4 of the way in, unplugged it. And at the time, I was
too much caribou loo.
Yeah. I didn't know at the time if you didn't have batteries in this thing as a backup, if it unplugs, the episode's gone.
Wow.
Because it needs a digital stamp in the front and digital stamp
in
the
back.
So
even this one, if it were to be unplugged.
Yeah. Well, I've got batteries in now. So if it unplugs, it's seamlessly. Mm-hmm. But that's when I learned, because I called Zoom panicking. I was like, hey, so I was recording this episode and somebody walked by and unplugged it. And the guy goes, it's gone. Before I could even finish the story, I go, no, I didn't. Yeah, it's gone.
Is it possible that that guy was just being lazy and he didn't want to do his job?
No, because then I immediately found out that you can't get it. So then you and I record an episode like a couple months ago or a month ago or whatever. And I think what happened was when I was in New York, I was just frazzled and I was dumping stuff off the machine or something and then thought I had everything off the machine and pressed erase. Mm-hmm. You know, for the card, and it was gone. I mean, I've never lost an episode.
Well, now you'll never forget that, though.
Yeah.
You know, it was, it almost feels more special then that mine was the one erased. And like we said, it was like a dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
So
a practice run.
A practice run, because I was way more nervous for that one than this one, which means this might be
worse.
Why
were you nervous?
I think because, you know, it's kind of my first like interview type podcast ever. Like I have a podcast, but we all talk about movies and stuff. So we rarely, you go into why are you here?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think that was maybe why.
It's funny because, you know, my podcast is, I love it and the people love the people I have on, no matter who it is and everything. But I do forget that people get nervous. But I do remember when I did Marin's years ago, I was like,
you had to have been nervous, right?
I was like, uh-oh. Yeah. You know?
Well, because Marin likes to go there, too.
I don't mind that. I just think that at the time I was so, you know, people, they think that you're name dropping. I was just talking to somebody about this, and it's like, well, I can't really tell the stories without telling who the people are, or else it's just a story about Bob. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Right.
You know what I mean? Everybody has this story, you know?
Right.
So I was like, oh, fuck. The people are going to think it's a little name-droppy. But it was my life. And then after a while, I was like, yeah, fuck them. You know? But it was nerve-wracking because I was talking about, you know, I've hung out with this person. I toured with this person. I've done it.
But that's what people want to know.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. But then you get those fucking
name
side
drop
haters.
Dean over there.
Side haters. Oh, fuck this guy, you know. But I find that those people, I don't need them around anyway. So it's better anyway.
Do you feel like the good way outweighs the bad with the fans, that it doesn't get to you as much, or?
I don't tend to get a lot of negative energy because I don't think I'm at that level.
Yeah.
But I know that as you go, you get, you know, you go up in levels, there's always that thing of champion the underdog.
Right.
And then when they get there, it's like, fuck him.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the weirdest mentality I've ever, I think it's the biggest human flaw of just kind of jealousy is a brutal flaw of the human. And we all get jealous. Marin was talking about it today on his podcast. He had a guest on and he said he couldn't stand the guy for years and he realized it's just petty jealousy on his side. And, you know, I've never been that guy, though, where you're at the store and somebody gets a TV show. Like a friend of mine got SNL today. I'm like, that's fucking great.
Yeah.
I've never been that guy that's like, oh, fuck him. It should have been me. It's like that stuff just brings more positivity to the comedy world.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger some comics get, it draws the industry into other comics.
That's true. And I think it's weird, too, that we we really want here. I mean, it depends. Like, you can be jealous of someone that it's not even a field you want to be in. That's what's weird too.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you, that's not what you want to do, or, you know, whatever. But so it's like, even if people just become mega stars, you start to turn on them, which is weird because we secretly want heroes.
Yeah.
And yet we still, it's almost like we're self-sabotaging. We're not allowing ourselves to even love somebody.
I think a good fame level is like a Rollins or a Nick Cave. Or
people I don't know, which is probably the reason.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. But these guys, or women too. Like, let's just say, there's these people that are in the industry that work forever.
Yes.
And they never go to, you know, Brad Pitt level.
Right.
So it's always kind of like a Norm Macdonald, who mm-hmm. we just recently lost. You know,
I'm sorry about that also. I know you loved him, right? Oh, yeah.
It's just fucking brutal, mm-hmm. you know, because so young. That's a scary
really
thing.
Young.
I'm 55.
Yeah.
So it's always like, oh my God.
He was 61,
I think. Yeah. 60. Yeah. I don't know. But there's that thing, like Philip Seymour mm-hmm. was a guy who was that level of fame where it was just perfect until he did Capote, of course. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's in Boogie Nights. He's, you know, he's in these movies, and you're always like, you know, he's in Almost
Twister.
Famous. Yeah, where you're like, that guy. Oh, yeah. And he comes on, and he delivers the goods. And then there's that level of fame where you are the Capote, the Philip Seymour mm-hmm. or the Jack Black guy who does these kind mm-hmm. of things. And then you explode, and then they overexpose you. There's right. some people out there right now, I'm like, not this person yeah. again. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm happy for them, but oh,
and
man.
They're taking it because they don't know how long it'll last.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
And it's really the industry that's yeah. like, you know, you really ought to take this. It's not good to say no. And mm-hmm. I think it is okay to say no. How much money do you need?
Mm-hmm.
You
but know? It's that scarcity. It's that yeah. fear that,
yeah, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. You don't blame them at all when you see that. Like, yeah, take what you can get, I guess.
As long as it's good. But sometimes they start taking the wrong shit.
Someone who has an interesting career is Kristen Wiig. Because after Bridesmaids, which I would say I was thinking about on the way here, I think that was like one of the most influential movies. Like, I saw Bridesmaids and was like, I want to do comedy.
Right.
That
means you want to do comedy.
I mean, I think I already wanted to, but that like sealed the deal. Like, I was like, I gotta find out a way yeah. to do this. And most of those gals were like improv, so I did start by taking an improv class.
Right, where in LA?
Yeah, I took the Groundlings.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and I went for a while. I did the Groundlings, and I kind of it wasn't the right. Like, I met a friend. Her name is Mandy Martino, who does stand up as well, and she was like, I think you're better suited for stand up. Like, we should go take a stand-up class.
Yeah.
And I know that people, I think we talked about this last time, people are tough on classes or think it's stupid.
Right.
You can't. But it helped me at least get my butt in the chair and then have to go up on stage for the first time was this class. But yeah, so it was kind of through the Groundlings that I started doing stand-up, and I found out that stand-up was better for me, but I still do enjoy improv somewhat. But Kristen Wiig, after Bridesmaids, you know, she said she wouldn't do a second one, and everyone wanted them, her and her writing partner, to do a second one, and they stood by it, never did a second one. And then she did a lot of indie stuff.
Right, that's the way to go.
And that people didn't understand. They're like, what? Like, kind of dark indie.
Yeah.
Which was really cool, but I think it disappointed a lot of people, maybe, but she did her thing.
Sometimes the industry gets angry at you too.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're giving you this shot and you're not going for it. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck you. And they'll somehow like secretly just blackball you.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. I've yeah. seen that where you're mm-hmm. like, what happened to that guy?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I always loved Matt Dillon's career. Mm-hmm. And even right now, he has a new film coming out because he could have easily been that teen idol
yeah.
into the good looking roles and all that, but he took like really cool roles. Mm-hmm. Same with Sean Penn,
yeah,
and guys that I like. It's interesting that you say, yeah, people do frown upon the comedy classes, the stand up schools, and I think it's really funny these people that have the, you know, the gatekeepers,
right?
This is how comedy should be. Mm-hmm. And they really they love to cast judgment on somebody immediately. Like, oh, well, I mean, that guy can't be funny because he went to a class. So there's all this kind of weird rules. But I think as long as you go after it in the a proper way.
Right.
And not fall into those classes of the bogus hacky jokes and stuff.
Yes.
Because most of those people teaching those are really, they're bad ex-comics, hacky stuff, and they're telling you wrong shit. But what it really does is you can get on stage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're kind of have to get on stage because there's only 12 of you there.
Yeah.
And then you start making friends. Like, I still have two great friends from that class, Matt Durndeck and Bijan Zarabi. They still do stand up. And we, you know, I had to show up the next week because they'd be like, where were you? But with an open mic, no one gives a shit. You don't have to be there. No one knows unless you make friends doing that. But I think that it kind of gave me accountability.
And what class did you take?
Greg Dean's.
Oh, Greg Dean. Yeah. Yeah. He's got a book, right?
He's got a book.
It's like a green cover.
Could be. I think I had the Xeroxed, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The bootleg version. Yeah, exactly. I think I got that.
I only know because when I started comedy, I bought every book.
Yeah.
How to Write a Joke. Greg Dean.
There's the Comedy Bible, too, which I know. Judy Carter. I think I bought that one and read that one. Yeah, I think. And for that, it's like if you also were trained to go to school. So it's like that's how you learn something. That's how we think you're supposed to learn. So it's like it makes sense to want to do that, I think.
Well, you could go to the school and, like I just said, and immediately realize, oh, this is all bullshit, but I'm going to... it's a safety zone for a little while.
It is.
You need a little bit of a little bit of a blanket because it's so damn brutal.
In the world, it seems so big at first. Oh, so if you can just make your world a little smaller, it can be helpful.
And be around a couple friends and be like, I don't... I mean, when I started, I couldn't even tell you how to write a joke.
Yeah.
I just was writing down full pages of the word for word.
A lot of premises. I didn't realize that was mostly what I was doing. Well,
that's what I learned even later.
Yeah.
Because that's really how I write jokes now. I just write down the premises and go on and do them. That's 100% how I write. I can't write any other way. I was never good in school. I'm not good with... I don't spell good. I'm not good with, you know, I don't have a bunch of intricate words like some comedians do.
Intricate words.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But I do have an intricate life.
Yeah.
And then when you figure out how to do that without being a storyteller, you know, then you figure it out. Uh-huh. But it's weird to look at a book or be in a class and they're like, joke structure.
Right.
Boom, boom, bam.
Yeah. I think it takes some of the magic away, which people don't like.
Right.
Which I understand. And I got it was a lot of feedback that was like, how about you turn that into a blowjob joke? And I'm like, how about I don't?
Yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of.
Well, that's the bad shit in the class.
Right.
See?
Right.
You know, and when I started, I thought that it was just about being funny. I didn't realize, I didn't even know what hacky was. I'll tell you, but after a while at being at open mics, I was like, fuck, I just heard like 30 roommate jokes, 75 fart jokes or taking shit jokes, and 100 I'm single jokes.
Right.
So then you start to go like, oh, okay, I get it. Let's figure something else out. And I think that was so great that you didn't, you know, do the blowjob joke because that's 90% of what's out there.
Yeah.
You know, not just female. I'm just saying, you know, that what I'm saying is surface premises.
Right. Right.
And do you think that you didn't go that route because you were, I mean, you're married and you've only been with one person or whatever. Do you think because you grew up in like Texas kind of was it?
I just think because I like some comic, like I really liked in high school. I loved Chelsea Handler and I even loved Kathy Griffin, who are, I guess they're dirty.
They're dirty.
And so I liked it. But for the most part, I like clean. I just like clean comedy. I think it's better. All right. I think it's funnier to me.
It's harder. 100% harder.
Right. So, but there's still some people like that are dirty that don't seem dirty.
Right.
Like I would almost think Marin is kind of like that.
Right.
Where I still like him, but he was someone that I really liked before I did stand up. And I think to me, he seemed maybe because he's smart. So he seemed clean.
Right.
But that's not necessarily always the same. And it's interesting too, that you think that just if someone curses, that makes them dirty.
No,
but that's not what makes them dirty. No. So I think I sometimes do, curse if I, but it's by accident.
Yeah.
But because that's it's not like dirty. I'm working on something, but right. That's not
the
dirty.
Word and it's
right.
gone. The joke's right. still there.
Yeah. I
dirty
think that's just
like
more natural
blum,
for me.
Blum, threesome.
Right.
And she was licking my ass.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a lot of ass licking right now.
I know. Right. Yeah. It's like,
I was trying to do a joke about it that I am agnostic about ass eating. I can't believe that that's real.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't want to. You can tell me. Well, it's more of an atheist, I guess. You can tell me that it's real, but I don't believe in it.
Yeah.
Even if I see it, I'm not going to believe it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like there's no God and there's no ass eating.
That's right. that's the premise idea. But yeah. There is a lot of that right now.
I liked when I first saw you doing comedy, I thought, oh, well, this would be a great opener for me, because a lot of the openers I had would kind of, some of the would be some similar premises, and that's always kind of a bummer. because then, you know, it's like a samey throughout the night. I don't like that. I like to have a kind of a variety of comedy in there. But you know, what I really liked was I grew up on Stephen Wright and Bob Newhart. And all my idols, I'm nothing like. But, you know, I mean, I love Bob Newhart. I love Nate Bargatze.
Yeah, me too. Know. Yeah. I love Stephen Wright. I saw his special in high school and my mom showed it to me and my mind was blown. I loved it so much. Yeah. And then Christina P. one time saw me in the belly room and she said I reminded her of Newhart.
That's great.
So I was like, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So I'll never forget that.
You know, clean comedy also, what a lot of people don't know is there's the clean comedy channels on Sirius XM.
You can make some money.
Oh my God. They're begging people.
Yeah. I'm actually doing a clean show tonight where they're recording for that.
Oh, wow. Where at?
Yeah. At the Nightcap.
Right
here in I think it's in Burbank.
Oh yeah,
so not far from here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's called Cleanup Comedy, and it's just you're supposed to do a clean set, and they submit it to SiriusXM.
But you own it, right? Not them.
Yeah. Well, I'll check, but say right now, all for this purpose. Yeah, yeah, I own it.
Oh no, you got to check.
Yeah.
That
okay.
Because no 50-50, nothing.
Yeah.
Because you can record it, and I could submit it for you. You know, or show you how to do it on your own.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So do not give up any kind of control on that.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to submit it, believe it or not. And they're dying for, get some checks, man.
Yeah.
Steve Simone, you know?
Yeah.
He's killing it out there. He re-recorded another record just to get some of the fucks out and stuff and put it on there. It's killing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, all they got is like Gaffigan and Bargatze and like two other guys.
Yeah.
And I always, when I'm writing, I'm always thinking, okay, I do say fuck here, but I could get rid of that. Mm-hmm. And it was funny when I sat down to do the Conan set. Actually, when I was asked to do the Tonight Show, I was like, how do you even do this? You
know? Yeah.
And Mark was like, dude, it's just part of comedy. You got to fucking do it.
Yeah.
I was like, five clean? This is impossible.
Yeah.
But right now, I could do 20 clean. I got the back stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the stupid sign jokes. Mm-hmm. I've got, this Elon Musk joke and all these jokes that are clean.
Yeah.
That, you know, I have that habit of adding fuck to, you know, make it even funnier.
Make it funnier. It does help sometimes. Yeah. It really does.
Well, it's the insecurity of the bit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, like, tonight when I'm doing the show, I think it's five. It's, like, to practice your clean set is the point for night, like, for, you know, the Tonight Show or whatever. And I love doing crowd work. And so I wish I could start out. I'm sure I can. I can do whatever. It's a casual thing, but right. One of my favorite parts is when you get a little bit longer, so you're able to kind of talk to the audience a little more.
Right.
Than just go straight into material.
Well, I always tell people when they're doing their Conan tape or their, you know, Conan's mm-hmm. gone now, but they're...
He'll be on HBO, I think.
Yeah, I can't wait, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think a major mistake people make when they're running their five is they run it in the middle of the set. And I'm like, you understand when you walk on to Conan, there's no middle of the set. So you need to start every set you ever do practicing it with the five at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Dead cold.
Yeah.
And if it's working, it's going to crush on TV.
Yeah.
But don't cheat yourself with any kind of crowd work or anything because now you've warmed them up. Unless you're going to do a little bit of that on Conan, which is weird.
That's really weird. Yeah.
People 200 feet away.
Is that what the cue card's going to say? Now crowd work? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, it's a interesting animal. When you did the class, they have a show at the end of the graduation.
Uh-huh.
So how many weeks was the class?
So, okay. So I took it probably, I started February of 2015. So that's when the first time I did stand up.
Right.
And it was probably 6 weeks and then we had a show. And
was it in the belly room?
It was in the belly room.
Right.
And I remember I blacked out during it. I have no idea. I made a promise to myself because you could take the class again and he would like take some money off if you're a repeat student. So I was like, no matter how the show goes, you're going to take the class again.
Oh, wow.
So whether it, because I didn't want to put everything on that show, like you're going to quit or continue depending on how you do.
Right.
And I'm glad I did because I truly have no idea how I did. I mean, people that came, you know, because it's your first, so you get a lot of people want to see you, like a lot of your friends, and it's really nice. As you continue, you know, it's hard to, you feel bad bringing the same people. Oh God, it's brutal. It's hard. That's what people need to understand. It's hard doing comedy, but it's even harder being a good friend of the comic. Because you're asked to the bringer shows over and over again, and you want to. I had friends that was like, "Can I just buy a ticket and not show up?" I'm sure. Do what you got to do. I'll pay you back.
It's funny because I feel like we're all bringer comics until you get to a level of like the 20 people right now that are out there. We all know who they are: the Burrs, the Marins, the Tom Segura's, the Rogan, I mean, of course, the old school, you know, Maria Bamford and all that. They all draw, but it's so weird. It feels like, and I want to explain to people what a bringer show is in the comedy world. You can't really get stage time unless you bring like five people.
Yeah. If you're lucky, it's five.
Yeah. If you're lucky, it's five.
Yeah.
And if you bring 10, you might get more minutes.
A minute more. Yeah.
And what it is these people are just making money by doing these shows, these promoters. And it's almost like when I was growing up, the bands would do pay to play.
Yeah.
Where you'd go to the club and they'd give you 50 tickets and you had to sell them. And if you didn't sell them, you had to cover them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and you go on. But even right now, here I am 10 years in and over 5,000 spots. I beg for people to come when I fly 3,000 miles. Like, please just come out.
The bringing maybe never stops because in a way, like you're talking about Bill Burr. Yeah. He's just a great bringer because he doesn't have to reach out. People just come.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's almost just, it never ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, it ends when you don't have to worry about it, but it's still learning how to promote yourself to maybe, I don't know. Because I would for a long time just ask my close friends. I didn't want to post anything because I wasn't comfortable yet. So I didn't want people coming really. So that was another hard thing. It was like, I don't want to have to bring people. I'm learning.
Yeah.
But you gotta sell tickets. You gotta fill the room. Otherwise it's not a good show.
Yeah. Without people, that's the worst thing about comedy or rock. You know, without the people, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible for the venue.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible for the comic. It's terrible for the employees that are the waitresses that are like, wow, This person didn't have anybody here tonight. I've got kids to feed. I'm not going to make any tips.
Right.
I always feel horrible on the waitresses the most.
Yeah.
The club can be like, well, next week I'm having, you know, Billy Jack here and it's going to be sold out. But, you know, the waitresses, next week will be good. But now they're behind the eight ball because this weekend sucked. And
yeah,
it's so many fucking difficult things. It's like, oh, shit, I'm here. I remember I rolled into town to headline and they're like, oh, yeah, Ron White's here for the next two nights. I was like, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
You know, oh, the county fair's here and Hootie and the Blowfish is playing for free. I'm like, they're still around? You know?
Right, I thought it was just Darius at that point. Yeah. They go, Hootie, okay.
It's just, you know, I don't know. So you don't remember how you did?
I know that I, no, that I'm going to say.
You didn't record it?
It's recorded. I guess I never wanted to watch it though. It took me a long time to be able to listen and watch my stuff.
Yeah.
Now I can do it, but I was so nervous. Like, I don't think I ate anything all day.
Yeah.
And
did your husband come?
Yeah, he was there. We were just dating at the time.
Oh,
but
I got you.
Yeah.
Now, did you tell him, hey, I want to do comedy? And was he kind of like, oh, that's kind of weird?
Well, when we actually first met, I was a junior, end of my junior year in college, and I knew I wanted to, I was kind of coming into it, figuring that stuff out. I hadn't done an improv class or done stand up, but I knew I wanted to be in entertainment.
Right.
On the, I don't know. Well, I've told you this before. I had an internship with Barry Katz.
Right. Right.
Which is kind of to what introduced me into stand-up comedy, because he's a, you know, manager. And
but before Barry Katz, you weren't thinking about comedy? And then once you're there, you're like, you know what? I think I might try this.
I never thought that I could do... I always secretly had the dream, but I didn't think that it was practical to want to be on that side of the thing. I was like, maybe you could do more. You could be a manager, or you could be, you know, be on the other side of things, the less creative. Well, not that that's less creative, pardon me, but you know, the, or even the producer, that type of thing.
Right. Right.
That would be
just in the biz,
in the business. Yeah.
And is that why you moved to LA from Austin?
No, because I went to, I just came out here because I went to college at Pepperdine,
right.
But I did study film. Which I kind of kept thinking I'd eventually change and have to do something like accounting or something like that. And I just stuck with it. But, so I definitely, even when I was 18, kind of knew I wanted to go into it. Then, the summer, I think it was, summer, maybe 2012. I'm not very good with dates, but I got maybe 2012. I got an internship with Barry Katz. And, you know, I would have to watch a lot of submissions, comics submitting things. And
were they submitting
for him to be their manager?
Wow.
And then I was also watching his current, at the time, Melissa Villasenor was one of his clients. And he had other, I think, and he was working on The Whitney Show and things like that. So I was just, and I started really getting into WTF at that time. I remember thinking, though, I could never be a comic. Yeah. Like, this is the I was just like, I can't, because people, comics would call and they would be like, I'm here at the hotel. Like, they don't have my name on the list. Like, I don't have a room for tonight. It was just like, everything was terrible.
Yeah. You're like,
and
oh,
I was like,
God.
I am not strong enough for this. So, but then that was also the same time I think I enrolled in my first improv class. So I don't know what happened, how I changed my mind. I was like, you know what? You can actually be that miserable person. You'll be okay. I don't know.
Well, you got all the makings for a comedian.
Yeah.
I mean, Maren and I had an argument on one of the Dark Fonzies where I was like, do you think you could be happy and a comedian? He's like, yeah. Yeah, I absolutely do think that. And I was like,
he said that.
Yeah. And I was like, well, who? Like, who's who's happy out there that's like funny?
And he couldn't.
I don't think he came up with one. Maybe he came up with like one. You know, I'm sure Kevin Hart's happy.
Yeah,
but I don't know what he was like coming up.
I think comedy makes, like, I feel happier when I'm doing comedy.
Well, that's the thing.
So that's weird.
Yeah. Too. Well, when I'm during COVID, I don't think I've ever been more miserable.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't doing comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it was almost selfish. Like, people were dying and stuff, and I'm like, I might as well be dead. I found something I love and it's gone.
It's taken from me. Yeah.
But I mean, you know.
You're licking the concrete trying to get COVID. Yeah. That's not how you get COVID, but you know.
You took the class again?
Yes. So I kind of stayed in the class, kept doing it. I had the confidence then to go to open mics. And
what mics were you going to? Were you going to the store at all?
No, I didn't do the store. But I did, there was the one place called The Warehouse in Marina Del Rey that looked like a Red Lobster.
Oh, I would do that one. Yeah.
Fanatic Salon, I would do. Just recently the slotted thing has happened.
The what?
Which slotted.
What's
so
that?
So like, you know, and like when we were doing it, it was Name in the Bucket.
Oh yeah.
Or it was pretty much just Name in the Bucket. You drew them out. Sometimes it could be first come, first serve. You know, you could get there at 4, sign up for your 6 p.m. whatever slot. But now they have a thing where you do it online in advance, most of these places. So you know, you only show up if you know you're getting on.
Wow.
But the deal is you have to stay the whole time.
Ooh, really?
But it's only an hour.
Oh, that's
so cool. Now it's so much better because you're like, okay, I am only devoting an hour instead of 5.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And
maybe you could do 2 in a night or 3.
I mean, there were times where I would go out to an open mic. At the time, I had roommates. Be like, yeah, I'm going to open mic. Go look at the list. See how long it was. Sit in my car and go home. And be like, well, I went to an open mic. Yeah. Like, that was the experience. Because it was like, I'm not getting up. Or I would just wait and wait. My name wouldn't get called. Or then if my name would get called, I'd be pissed that my name got called. So it was like you couldn't win at those. But yeah, so now I think the open mic system is much better.
Now, was your man like bumming that you were going out to open mics?
I think he understood that that's what I wanted to do. And that, you know, it does make it hard even just because when people, even friends and everything, it's like the times that I'm going out are the times that people hang out together.
Right. Right.
And I still even feel like this weekend did I do a show? I think I maybe did a show Friday, but Saturday and Sunday I had off and it's hard to enjoy. I love it. I'm like, oh, this is great. Like just enjoy. I had a nice dinner, you know, like at a normal time. But then I was like, oh, I feel like I shouldn't be enjoying this, which I need to get better at that and just enjoy that I had a couple nights off and not beat myself up about it, that I should have, you know, booked something.
Yeah.
But because this is going to be a long life, you know, if I beat myself up about that kind of stuff. Because I also did enjoy myself. It was a fun weekend, just kind of relaxing and not worrying about getting somewhere on time. And then I always feel so much better after the show. It's kind of like working out. It's like, well, it's a little bit easier than working out, but I kind of dread it. I don't dread it, but it's like, then you get nervous about it. And then once you're on stage, it's fine. And you're off stage, it's great. But kind of the leading up to it sometimes I don't love.
Yeah.
Especially because it's the whole day you're thinking, like tonight, you know, I have a show tonight and I'm going to go to my day job after this. And I'm going to be like, just waiting for that.
Yeah.
So it's hard. It's like your whole day is just waiting.
Well, each day I wake up is why I wake up, to go do comedy.
But you wake up before 6 p.m.
Well, yeah, but I'm like, well, this is my purpose today.
Right, right, right.
And then when I don't have a spot, I'm like, you know, a lot of people are like, well, this is great. I can just chill at the house and watch movies. I'm like, it's not great for me. Mm-hmm. I love doing comedy.
Yeah.
So if I'm not doing it, I'm like, yeah, this sucks.
Yeah.
I've done all the other shit.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen all the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard all the records. I've been all kinds of places. I want to get on stage.
What a weird place to be. I've seen all the movies. I've listened to all the music.
Yeah. Yeah.
in the first episode that we did together, that only the universe will know.
Yeah.
I also don't say the universe. I don't know why I just said that. I'm not somebody who prays to the universe as a entity. So, but if you are, I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just bringing it up. I don't typically say the universe as I just did. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh yes, you said, because I was talking about how you were always so nice to me, like when I first started out, because you had headlined a couple shows that I did,
right?
And I remember one time, like, I just kind of waved to you at the store And you're like, oh, hey, Macy, do you know Mark? And you like introduced me to Mark Maron and you introduced me to some other people. And I was like, no, I don't know these. Thank you. Yeah. And then I went and I like told Chad and I told my friends. I'm like, he's just so nice to me. And then you told me that you thought I was somebody else.
Yeah. New York comic.
So you thought we were closer than we were.
Well,
not, or you know what I mean? I seemed more familiar to you.
Well, I didn't know the New York person either.
Okay.
But I thought immediately, like, I know how hard it is when I go to, when, at the yeah. time when I'd go to New York and people right. just look at me like, mm-hmm. LA comic.
What, right.
I knew that feeling mm-hmm. of kind of like, no one's talking to me. They're looking, you know, there was that really weird thing where I never understood it. It was almost like a hip hop war of Biggie versus, yeah. you know, West Coast mm-hmm. versus East Coast. And there was this time in New York where people were just like, L.A. people aren't funny. They're not real comics. Mm-hmm. They're not true comedians. The true comedians are in New York. Right. And I was like,
doing 12 oh, really? Sets a night. Yeah.
So you're saying like Burr and Rogan and Maron and Ali Wong. And these people aren't the Norm Macdonald.
Right.
These aren't the real comics. Yeah. Okay. And they always hung their hat on like two comics. The real ones are these yeah. two. And I was like, So when I did see you, I thought, oh, that's that girl from New York that I see at the stand or whatever, kind of familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I don't want anybody to feel like that, you know.
Very so, kind of
hey,
you.
Hey, what's happening? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to be to comedians. Like sometimes I'm not super friendly if I'm getting ready to go up. I mean, right. you know, people come up, hey, man.
Yeah, because you're in your head.
I'm like, hey, yeah. man, hey, how are you? Right on. And I'm about to go up. That's the whole reason I'm there. But when I'm done, you know, there was years where people just asked me for advice. I'm fucking only, you know, 11 years in. But I gladly tell people stuff until I realize most people don't listen. And they're looking for a shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd be like, man, how do you do this and that and that? And I go, okay, well, you got to do the open mics every day. And then you got a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to write every day. And then you got to listen to your sets. And then, you know, try to be on other people's podcasts and audition. And then they'd go, oh. And they'd just walk away and not listen to any of it. Like,
Well, hopefully you scared them away.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean.
But. I do enjoy people that love comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I would see you quite a bit in the Tammy Joe mm-hmm. room and I was like, oh, I like this girl's comedy because it's dry, which I love dry comedy. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, this is funny.
And you like the desert.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm going to have you come out. Now, when you came out and opened for me, were those the first time you were doing 20 minutes?
Yes, yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
I had gotten lucky never opening for someone and doing 20, but like maybe just on random shows, you got to do a little bit longer.
Right.
But yeah, that was, you for sure gave me the most stage time I'd ever had.
It's funny because I remember my first 20 mm-hmm. minutes a weekend featuring, and it was for Jay Davis at this NASCAR event in Arizona. So he comes up and goes, hey, you got 20, right? And I was like, oh, yeah.
For sure.
And I, you know, I probably had, I mean, 10, but technically, you know, 7.
Uh-huh.
And I did see it in your eyes the way I felt at that time. It's incredible how long 20 minutes feels.
Yes.
Because you, no matter how much you look over the paper,
mm-hmm.
you're like, this probably is about 14 minutes
yeah.
on a good set with right. lots of laughs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
if there's not that, yeah, it could be 6.
It could be 6.
It's crazy.
And you know, you're like, well, I'll go really slow. Maybe I'll,
I know.
And then if you're new, you
pause.
And you can't just do crowd work because
right.
it could go wrong.
Right.
So there's all this shit. And I enjoyed watching you because I remember that. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Bill told me something early on. Burr, he said, you know, and also I read this from Bill Hicks, is, you know, don't start with the material.
Yeah.
Be organic. Be up in there. Bill told me one time, this is the funniest thing. He goes, there's nothing worse than a person comes up to you and they're like, hey, I'm Macy. I do comedy. I'm married. I live on the West Side. And I got a day job. Yeah. And I, without anything, you're like, whoa, who the fuck are you? You're just firing shit at me.
Don't overshare.
Yeah. And he's like, it's best to engage a little. Mm-hmm. And I read that about Springsteen. Springsteen would get the local paper wherever he's playing, read it from front to back, know what's going on in the city. And then when he's up on stage. Yeah. So Bill's like, you know, don't start with the material right away until your shit starts to fade a little bit, and then hit him with some great opening joke. You know?
That is actually what Greg Dean told me.
Wow.
He felt like that was a good thing for me. Because he told me that that's what Bill Hicks believed. So yeah,
it is true.
I remember that just reminded me one time when I saw Kathy Griffin live in Austin. So I was still in high school. She had clearly read the paper or, you know, done her research, which was so funny because also anytime, which you don't have to read the paper to know this, but anytime she'd say something that would piss people off, she would say hook 'em horns.
Yeah.
Which was just so funny because, you know, people in Austin love UT, and it was, I'll just never forget her, you know, saying something so atrocious and hook 'em horns.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I always find out the bad part of town.
Yeah.
You know? And then if somebody's being unruly in the crowd, I'm like, you must where are you from? Eugene?
Yeah.
You know? It's a hacky thing, but it gets them to shut up. Mm-hmm. And the crowd would be like, oh.
Something else that works too that is hacky because it's just been done so many times, but it always gets me a laugh, is just if I'm honest with how the set is going.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
But it's easy because if something didn't get a laugh and I just go, well, that didn't go well.
Yeah.
Then that gets a laugh.
Yeah, of course.
So, even though that's something, it's at least you can kind of count on that. Like, I'll be honest, I think our first one was better than this one, Dean.
Yeah.
Our first recording. What do you think about this one so far? Yeah. What do you think?
The first one was better than this one?
Maybe. Maybe it's just I'm too comfortable now, which is a good thing.
Wow.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay. All right.
I don't even remember the first one barely.
I guess I don't really either, but I'm just being negative, I guess. I'll always, now this is good no matter how this goes. I'm like, well, it's really, you know, it's on Dean because that first one was going to be,
just this one's good.
Yeah.
This one's good.
Mid 50-year-old guys just chatting about no kids and, oh, that's your other one. Never mind. I've got cats. You've got dogs. Just kidding. I have a dog. You know I have a dog. You've met Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
Pop-Tart and Gertie met.
Yeah. What kind of dog is that? Labrador?
She looks like one. She's a Wheaton Terrier.
Oh, that's right.
She has it's called a puppy cut. So it's like, she kind of looks like a doodle, but she's a Wheaton Terrier. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's, it's funny. She sleeps in longer than I do.
Really?
I found a dog that likes to sleep more than I do, which is incredible.
Yeah. Last time you were here, we were talking about you like to sleep a lot, but it was a depression thing.
Yes. But I do think I just also really like to sleep. Like, I think they say that some people just need more sleep than others.
Yeah.
And I probably get about nine every night, which is kind of maybe a lot.
Yeah, that I love nine.
Yeah.
Nine's great. Now, what about your man? Is he up?
He's normal. He's up. He finds the morning lovely. And I don't really start feeling happy until like 6 p.m.
Whoa.
Well, that's I kind of like when the sun is about to go down.
Yeah.
And then we have the night. That's a fun feeling. That's when my kind of first wind kicks in. And then my second wind is probably I'll get really tired around 10 and I'll stay up to like 10:10 and then I'm awake for a long time.
I got Gertie, so I'm up early now.
Yeah.
So then now I'm kind of like, this ain't that bad.
I know.
You know,
there's something.
I get up like 7, I walk Gertie all around the hood.
It can be, there times where I've had to do that, I'm like, okay, it's pretty out. And it kind of reminds me of when I used to have to if I had early sports games or something.
You used
to play
sports, right?
Yeah.
Lacrosse, or what'd you
play? Lacrosse, yes, and basketball. Those were my two sports in high school. But it makes me think of, like, even when I was really little, playing, like, soccer. Because I feel like those were so early in the morning, and orange slices, and I don't know when that became.
Orange slices,
I don't know why that was the go-to. And some kids, you know, they rip the orange out, but most kids just stick them in their face and suck on them, which is just kind of gross. And then you get all those peels that are just sucked on.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Thrown on the ground.
Yes.
That was pre-COVID.
That was definitely. Like, that's years. Not coming back. Those orange slices, probably not. Wow. Yeah.
So what's going on? Do you got a manager or agent? Is anybody sniffing around?
They're sniffing. I got sniffers.
Yeah.
This was something I talked about. What happened was, so my writing partner and I, Jenny Leiferman, who we've known each other, we've been friends forever. Our short film went to South by Southwest
right.
a couple years ago. And so that's kind of what got me some people interested. And she and I are still writing things, working on things. They kind of got delayed because of COVID. We were supposed to go out with something before COVID and pitch something. But we're still working on stuff. So I work with that as well as stand up. But that South by Southwest was like amazing.
Well, that'd be great because that's your hometown. You're from
Austin.
I
know.
And so.
And I'd never gone.
I don't know what your parents, thoughts were once you started comedy, because there you are going to school.
Yeah.
But that had to be kind of cool to them. Like, wow, what? That little,
it seemed
that
more
little
legit.
Hobby you have?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It
that's
was definitely helpful.
Right?
When yeah.
Are you gonna, when, you still doing that stand up thing?
Have you been listening to my father and I? Yeah.
Oh, my
our
God.
Conversation.
You know?
Yeah. I think they definitely know that I've sort of landed on it. My dad asked, this was a few years ago now, but he asked if I was still doing extemporaneous speaking, which that was pretty great.
Yeah.
So I was like, I had to look that up. That's, I guess, what they used to call debate or something.
Right.
I heard Gertie. Was she just, that was a good snore, Gertie.
Yeah, Gertie's like, she's like, the episode one was better.
Yeah, I know. She's saying the same thing. I know, Gertie, but, you know, there's nothing we can do about it now.
I
Gertie.
Don't think one was better.
All right,
it's
all
in
right.
Your head.
Okay.
Yeah. You're talking on this one.
That's true. But remember last time you were wearing jean shorts? That was fun.
I was wearing what?
You were wearing jean shorts, and I'd never seen you in shorts. And you cut them off yourself.
Yeah.
And that was interesting. It was really hot outside. So I'm glad it's not hot today.
Oh,
I like the
God.
Cloudy. Did you ever see Twilight? Are you a Twilight fan?
No, I've never seen that.
You should see it.
Yeah.
Anyway, days like today makes me think I'm
that's in, the vampire
one? Uh-huh.
And who's in that?
Robert Pattinson. Kristen Stewart.
And then they were going out for a
while? They were, yeah.
That's pretty wild.
That was a fun time. That was
I just remember
really great
on the
time.
Cover of everything.
Everything, yeah.
While I was like standing in line at grocery stores.
Yeah, because they were a real couple.
What
yeah.
happened to that dude? Is he still
Oh, on? Yeah, he's the new Batman.
Oh, he's the new Batman?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a Batman?
Yes. Wow. Well, this is going to be his first time.
Why?
I'm sure
right.
it'll be... He actually got COVID while they were filming.
Wow.
And I believe Zoe Kravitz is...
Catwoman?
Yeah.
Oh, rad.
So,
she's great.
She's great. So that'll be probably coming. I don't know anything, but I guess probably next year or something. So yeah, that's cool. And then he was in those Safdie movies. He was in that you would like. Good Time. Did you see that? And then the Adam Sandler... He wasn't in this one, but the Adam Sandler Gem... Where he's playing the this is when you need the guy that's sitting in the booth that's looking up things that chimes in every now and then with the when I was the righteous not the righteous gemstones. Okay, I'm looking it up right now. But those brothers did Good Time, which you got to see Good Time.
Well, I don't know
if you haven't.
I haven't seen Good Time.
Look, Jim, Adam, Sandler.
Look at your phone case. It's got the Golden Girls.
I've got the
on
Golden
it.
Girls. Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems. Oh, yeah.
Remember that one? Okay,
oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
the
yeah.
guys who did
yeah.
that
yeah.
did Good Time, which
oh, wow.
which Robert Pattinson was in, which is really good. Yeah, so I got my Golden Girls case here. Love me some Golden Girls.
Do you want to be on TV?
I'd love to be on TV.
Right.
Yeah.
Like what kind of stuff? Like Two Broke Girls or some kind of... It's weird because TV is just... I don't know. It just seems like there's no edgy comedy
mm-hmm.
out there. I think somebody
yeah.
could just kill it with an edgy comedy show. I was talking to recently
yeah.
on a podcast somewhere. I was like, you know, there's like, I think like maybe 20,000 SNL sketches.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably about 20 of them that we all remember. Isn't that
weird? Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that weird?
I think writing sketches for SNL is just maybe the hardest job in the world.
Oh my God.
To have to churn that out. And
well, I think if you have the proper writers and mm-hmm. you're not a slave to Coca-Cola and those kind yeah. of corporates, I mean, Dave Chappelle has no yeah. problem writing funny right. sketches. And that was proof it could be done. You put mm-hmm. together a great, right? We all know what's funny. But is it going to be able to be shown on yeah. TV, which is...
What do you think is your favorite SNL skit of all time?
You know, there's 10.
There's 10.
And they, I mean, look, as hacky as it is,
yeah,
No Cowbell is one of the funniest okay. fucking things I've
mm-hmm.
ever seen,
mm-hmm.
ever. Because I played music for all my life.
Yes.
And it was so, I mean, and Christopher Walken mm-hmm. is one of my all-time top five favorite actors ever.
Okay.
And I love Blue Oyster Cult, mm-hmm. and I've interviewed a couple guys from the band. So there's all this mechanism, but it was so real.
Yeah.
And it was so, like, I don't know who wrote that sketch, but it was so, the tone of it was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Norm in mm-hmm. the Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the subtleties of what's going on in each of those guys, including, what's his name? The host, fucking Frank the Tank.
Yeah.
He is killing it as Trevek.
Yes.
I mean, he's the most underrated on the sketch.
Yeah.
Of course, Norm is crushing it. Crushing it.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't think I've laughed that hard in a long time. And then... You know, I'm Gumby, damn it. There's some Eddie Murphy stuff. I'm Gumby, damn it. Buckwheat's been shot.
Yep.
And then you get into the years that I love, which is the Belushi one.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be like Cheeseburger.
Uh-huh.
Really funny. Samurai, anything. Anything samurai, hilarious.
Yeah.
And the superheroes Christmas party or whatever, where Hulk farts and stuff.
I don't think I know that one.
It's just an old one. And you know, Garrett Moore shows up. I'm Ant-Man. They're like, man, get out of here.
Uh-huh.
We heard it. I mean, you know. So what are yours?
Well, Debbie Downer comes up immediately in my...
There's Church Lady, too.
Yes.
Sorry, but
yes.
Go ahead.
No, but there's one Debbie Downer in particular where Lindsay Lohan is on.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Fallon, who's, you know, known to break... It breaks the whole... They all cannot keep a straight face. And
yeah.
So probably, you know, they're... I don't know if they love that they couldn't keep a straight face. But it's one of the most fun things to watch. It just brings so much joy to watch them have so much fun. And the Debbie Downer thing is just so funny.
I like Will Ferrell also with the girl... Mm-hmm. Their cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Molly Shannon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what's the one where she smelled her arm?
That's from Superstar, which I think was a... character
so
on
fucking funny.
Yeah, yeah.
So each season.
Wait, was it Sherry O'Terry? Also, well, Molly Shannon was the right. cheerleader one.
But
I thought she and Will Ferrell had
whoever the girl was that smelled her armpits all the time.
That was Molly Shannon.
Oh my
for
god,
sure.
I don't know. There's,
yeah,
but I'm saying it's you know, year. And then what else? It's hard.
It is hard. I mean, I already told you, I love Kristen Wiig. I feel like there was a time where when Amy Poehler and Tina Fey were on at the same time,
yeah,
that was really special with Weekend Update. And I think they were both, I read both of their books. And I think Tina, so there were two books actually that I read right before I started stand up. And I think they kind of pushed me to do it. And it was Steve Martin's Born Standing Up.
That's a great book.
So good, so good,
great
so
book.
Good. And then Tina Fey's Bossy Pants,
right.
which is really, really good. And I think both of those kind of gave me some courage to do it.
I love, you know, there's people out there that think that women can't be funny. And I always blast them on that. I mean, mm-hmm. Gilda Radner, I think, was one of the funniest ever on SNL as Rosanna and Dana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that shit was so... You got a date of a sweat on your nose! You know, like, she was just crazy good. And, you know, I grew up on funny women. Even Laverne and Shirley was fucking funny.
Laverne and Shirley.
and Maude.
Mm-hmm. Maude, yes, I mean, B. Arthur and Maude.
Yeah, Maude was incredibly funny. And there was so many good, good, funny women characters growing up in the 70s. That
Even I Love Lucy.
Oh, my God.
Is the funniest.
I mean, she's the queen.
And yeah. I don't like it when people, and I understand that, like, in her private and normal life, she was a normal person. Like, she wasn't that character. I understand that. But people always say Ricky was the funny one, or I guess Desi Arnaz.
Yeah.
And I get that he probably had great ideas. And, like, you can even hear his laugh on set. Like, when you watch I Love Lucy, you're like, oh, I hear Desi laughing. Like, it was almost like it was his idea and it went well or something. So I get that he is also a great comedic mind. But no, she's the funny one. She's the one who turns it on.
Of course.
So like I don't know. I love her so much. And it's almost like people, no one really, I mean, I know there are people that believe women aren't funny, I guess, but it's almost like someone just said that once and then it just caught on for no reason.
Well, like, you know, when they say that, this is the most interesting thing to me, when they say that. And then I sit down for about 20 minutes and think for a minute and I go, well, wait a minute. So you're saying that on All in the Family, okay, the women on that show weren't funny? Mm-hmm. They go, oh, well, they were funny.
That's always right.
And then I go, okay, so then you're saying the show Valerie, you know, she's not funny.
No.
Oh, well, yeah, that was funny. It's like, okay, then what about, Suzanne Summers on... Three's Company. That's right. Not funny. Oh, yeah, yeah. And as you start to go through these shows are incredible because of the dynamics of the male-female characters. Mm-hmm. And then I was talking to Irene, too, about this. I think that the Ellen special from around 2002
incredible.
Or 3, I think it was one of the funniest things I ever saw.
It's the funniest. I was hurting laughing.
Oh, I was on a tour bus out touring America playing music, and we would watch it in the back of the bus.
Yeah.
And we would fucking laugh.
Yeah.
So when people say that, and it's like, okay, so Maria Bamford, you're saying these are all women.
Right.
I can give you a ton of unfunny dudes right now on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Unfunny fucking dudes.
Right.
So, look, people aren't funny. They aren't funny. There are certain people that are.
Yeah.
But in the general run of it, people are not funny. Somebody was telling me a story a couple days ago, and they go, oh, yeah, whenever you hear I got a funny story, it's horrific. Mm. And you're like, hey, dude, in my professional mind, I'm like, you need to punch this up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So for somebody to say women aren't funny, it is unbelievable to me because I'll tell you what, Ali Wong, one of the funniest people.
Yeah.
Top five funniest at the store.
Yeah.
Hands down. Mm-hmm. Hands down. Like I'll go to the room to watch her because
she's
fucking great. Mm-hmm. So that is
she's someone too that is technically dirty that doesn't seem like it.
Well,
a little bit. I think she gets away with it,
you know, because she's
the glasses
and she's small
put together.
And she's a mom and she's also low tone. Like
she is low.
You think you're coming around here? You know, you're like, oh my God, it's so funny.
I think you should maybe do your set as Ali Wong just once. I think that could go well.
Sometimes when I go on after, I'm in Ali Wong mode for a minute.
Right. Well, I notice that when I'm with you sometimes, I'm in Dean Del Rey mode. Like, I've even noticed when we were recording, I'd go like, yeah. I'm like, I hope I didn't say that. That was killer.
It's so fucking funny. I love when Mark tries to do me.
Yeah.
He's all, yeah. And then I'm doing Mark. What the fuck?
That's a good...
Yeah. What the fuck? Sammy, I think I got cancer.
I'm doing the thing.
What the fuck? Yeah. Oh, my God. I don't know, man. I just... one of the things I love about comedy the most is that I've gotten some amazing friends out of it.
Yeah.
And you're one of them, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's great to go on the road and bring people... I love bringing people like you that are just... They're still trying. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure out how to do an hour. That's good. And you're trying to figure out how to do 20.
Yeah.
And so we're out there and we're two people trying to figure out this art.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like after we do it, we go eat and we just talk mm-hmm. like, oh man, you know, yeah. I think this one joke's kind of working.
Right.
And that is the beauty of comedy. It's just so personal, and you could be with another person mm-hmm. and be like, oh my God.
And I think that has surprised me a lot with people, meeting people in comedy, is like, you just expect everyone to be terrible.
Yeah.
Which is maybe a good rule of thumb for everything, to expect the worst, you know, but have been surprised about how kind people have been, you know. And I know that not everybody is. And,
yeah,
you know,
but I would be nowhere without
right.
people that reached out and helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they helped me because they saw me grinding, and they're like, oh, well, this guy's fucking going mm-hmm. for it. And that's how I look at people now when I want them to open for me. I'm like, you know, oh, well, this person wants to do this. They're not mm-hmm. doing this to try to, you know, do something else later. And they're here. They're out. It's fucking brutal. So, yeah. you know, open some doors.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, Burr and Joey Diaz and Maron and Eric Griffin and Ian Edwards, mm-hmm. those guys all opened some doors, mm-hmm. even if it was for stage time.
Yeah.
You know, that's mm-hmm. that's the huge. Biggest door you can yeah, open for totally. Someone. Like when you're doing comedy, you are not doing comedy unless you're on stage.
Yeah.
You can write all you want at the coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
You can hang out at the club all you want. But until you're on stage, you're not really doing comedy.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. I was doing I try to always remember this story. I was taking an improv class at the Fanatic Salon, actually, with Jane Morris and Jeff Mikowski, her husband. They're great teachers that I had. And George Wendt was in the class from Cheers, Norm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was friends with them.
Right.
And so he just came in to do a class. And I did a scene with him. I thought I was going to throw up. Like yeah. I was only like a few months in, and I couldn't believe it. And I also was like the last person to always get on stage. You know, people jump up, get on stage, and I'll just wait till
right.
the class is over. You know, I was fine sitting in the back. And then I had to get up, and I did a scene, and, you know, probably blacked out for that as well. But then afterwards, after the class, he and I were walking out, and I was like, oh, I'm such a big fan. I can't believe that, you know, you were there today. Like, that's so cool. And he was like, oh yeah, you know, I'm good friends with them. I just wanted to have some fun today. And he said, I really liked that. I don't remember what I did, but I did some big brother, big sister type skit. It's not a skit, but you know, improv.
Right.
And he said, I really liked that. And I go, oh, thank you. I really don't know what I'm doing. And he goes, nobody knows what they're doing. And I think about that all the time, that he said that. He was like, nobody knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And for him to say that, I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
It was such a nice thing to say. But then also, yeah, there's definitely a time in your life where you get where you feel like a professional. But it seems like, especially with comedy, you're always trying to rediscover something.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all unknown. You can definitely feel you can feel right in it, but I feel like I'll always remember him saying that to me, that nobody knows what they're doing.
That's the real deal too. You know, I mean, you really learn that when you're on a TV or movie,
mm-hmm.
you're like, oh, these guys, they're all been doing this for years. And then you look around and you go like, oh, well, this guy, he's not even prepared.
Yeah.
He doesn't know his lines mm-hmm. and shit. Oh, this guy over mm-hmm. here, he's just as bad as me.
Yeah.
Like, and then you start really like, all right.
Okay.
And then you have the two killers. Like, mm-hmm. I did a film with Dennis Hopper, and I was like, oh, well, this guy, how does he even put up with people
right.
like us? You know?
Yeah.
That must be a weird thing in the biz where
you're
a fucking mm-hmm. Academy Award killer.
Yeah.
And you've done the best films ever. And then they're like, here's this month's hot,
right.
cute person. You got to be in a movie with him. And they're
right.
like, oh.
I mean, it's like, she has a million on TikTok. Oh, well, okay.
That is a goddamn fucking
yeah.
weird thing.
Yeah.
Right? Are you on TikTok?
No. I hope I don't have to be.
What, you're on Instagram.
I'm on Instagram.
Give everybody your Instagram.
It's Macy Isaacs, MacyIsaacs.
Yeah.
And I'm also technically on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got both of those things.
And you got your podcast.
And I got my podcast. It's called Invade the Decade. You can go to at Invade the Decade or invadethedecade.com. That's a weekly podcast where we talk about pop culture. We'll pick a month and a year from history and we'll talk about the top grossing movie. And you know, you don't have to know the movie or anything. It's right. Just, we're all comics. It's Brian Burris, Avery McKinney, and myself, and then also Scotty Cav, who is a comedian, is on it a lot as well. And then we have guests. We had Shaylin on, yeah. Your friend. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about Carrie, that horror.
That movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. We have Travolta's in that movie.
He is. Yeah.
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 Love Travolta.
Yeah.
I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, he is great. Yeah.
Are you happy you got the hell out of Austin?
Well, it's a weird time because everybody's going there now.
Well, yeah, they are going there, but the weird laws.
Oh,
the
sure,
weird,
sure.
All
yes.
Kinds of weird shit.
Yes, I will say Austin does have that feel of, you know, it's not the rest of Texas, and I can guess that's still the case. I feel like you'll go down there and they'll be like, everything in the state's going to hell, or this is crazy, and so I think Austin will hopefully still keep that.
Yeah.
Cool vibe, I guess. That keep Austin weird. But I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird that, you know, I came out here and now and during COVID, so many comics. And I know that people are like, yeah, two guys went.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It felt like it was so many because it was also a lot of people that were like my level that were moving there. And you're like, wait, what?
Well, the people at your level were like, yeah, I'm getting so much stage time. And I
right.
go, no, that stage time was here, but you were working a night job.
Yeah.
And I never saw you. There's tons of bar shows in LA.
Mm-hmm. There are. Yeah,
tons of bar shows.
Yes.
You just weren't at them.
Right.
So, you know, maybe what you're saying is there's tons of easy stage time to get here. I don't have to work as hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put the proper words in your mouth, you know, but... yeah, it's
I will say I'm glad that's where I'm from because I go there for, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and holidays, so it's a good place to go hang out for a little bit. But I think I love LA.
Yeah, it's great.
I know.
Yeah.
I really do. I understand all the flaws. I get it. I'll join you, but I like it.
Yeah.
I'm happy here. Yeah.
Well, look for Macy. She'll be opening up for me on shows in 2022.
Yeah.
And we'll be out there somewhere.
Yeah, we'll be
hopefully,
out there.
You know, if the damn Cubs book me, we'll be there.
Yeah. They'll book you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hammering on doors. 12 in November, or what? Is it December 6th? Yeah, December 6th or something. It'll be 12 years.
Wow, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been doing now? Six?
Let's see, since 2015. Yeah, six.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, have half of you.
See, it was a good one.
Yeah, I hope. Well, we'll see what the haters think.
Oh.
But yeah.
It was great.
It was a good one. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
I really appreciate it.
Thanks
for having
doing the show.
Yeah.
And, oh, you got merch, right?
Got some merch for the podcast. That's right.
Is that on the website or something?
Yes. You can go on the website.
Okay.
I use the same guys you use, so it's all good.
They're great.
Mm-hmm. Silk Shop Screen Printing.
Yeah,
yes.
Silk Shop Screen Printing. You got the Gertie hoodie on.
I got
right
the Gertie
now.
Hoodie now. It's great quality. I would suggest everyone to buy it if they haven't bought it already. Yeah. Runs small, right?
No, that one does.
No, Runs Big. Runs big. That's what I meant.
Yeah,
runs big. So if you're in between sizes, order down.
Yeah, because I usually wear a medium and I wear a small. And I think
a medium, which kind of is big. I mean, it's good. I like it.
I could almost wear extra small.
Yeah.
I think so. Because I was looking at it on stage over the week, gigs here and in Portland. And I was like, I could probably wear an extra small.
Yeah.
All right. I love you, girl.
Love you, Dean.
Thanks for doing the show.
Thanks for having me.
See you guys. Make sure you subscribe and leave a review on iTunes and check out CactusRadioNetwork.com with all my shows, Dark Fonzie, At Home with Byron Katie, The Grail, and Let There Be Talk. And make sure you follow Macy on Instagram and check out her podcast and see her out at comedy venues all around LA. See you guys.